Good morning. Welcome to our service this morning. It's good to see everyone here today. We'll be recognizing our graduates here in just a little bit. So we're proud of them and this point in their life. So we're going to celebrate that this morning as well. Good to see everyone here this morning. We're going to open our service with a medley of songs. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. He is here, and open our eyes, Lord. So if you could stand with us, please. If you're able to stand, please join in with us as we open our service.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the crash of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord
visitors, special welcome to you. Turn and greet each other as we welcome our pastor to the stage this morning.
Welcome to our service today. We also want to welcome those who are watching by Facebook and YouTube, and those who tune in by way of radio. We welcome you to our services. We know you can't be with us today, but you can join us by those ways that I've mentioned. And it's good to see you here today. And so we welcome those in attendance this morning. So we're glad that you're here. This is the day the Lord's made, and so we rejoice and we're glad in it. I'll be continuing today in the series that we've been in, talking about the life of Peter. And I'll be going to John chapter 1. I'll be talking today about meeting the Master. We'll move now to our graduate recognition service. Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor. We have several listed there. Not all of them are here today. Could not be here, but we have their names. We'll put their names up on the screen as well. From Loudoun High School, we have Isaac Brown's first. If he'll come up and join the pastor. Eric Espinosa, he's not here this morning, but he also graduated from Loudoun High School. Macy Schubert, so we'll ask her to come on up to the podium as well, to the stage here, area here. And then from college, we had Courtney Hughes from Roan State, Emily Kirkland also from Roan State, Allison Rutherford from Liberty University, Anna Rutherford from Lee University, and Madison Rutherford from Tennessee Wesleyan. We do have a Bible for the high school graduates. I told them I wouldn't make them give a speech this morning, so they don't have to give any kind of address to the crowd. But we are very proud of them, and this milestone in their life, and I know their parents are as well. So our pastor is going to pray for them, and then they can be seated after that.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this special day for these young people, and we just thank you for their commitment that has brought them to this point in life. And we just pray, Lord, for their future. You know the future. You know the steps that they're going to take, and you know the future that you have planned for them. And Father, I just pray today that you'd bless them and just help them as they move forward from this time in their life. And Father, we just thank you for all your goodness to us. And we thank you for all these graduates today and ask your blessing upon them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's give them a hand. Several announcements there in your bulletin to take note of with our Vacation Bible School and other events planned. So just take note of those. And also this Friday will be our first meal distribution or food distribution that they'll be doing. Second Harvest will be doing in our parking lot. And if you want to volunteer to help with that, just come Friday morning around 9 o'clock and they'll make sure that you have something to do to help with this food distribution. So that'll be the third Friday of every month starting this week on the 20th. Well, I ask that you continue to join with us as we sing two hymns here, celebration hymns, Higher Ground and More About Jesus. You join in with us as we sing this morning.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches in glory all his own. More of his kingdom sure increased, more of his coming Prince of Peace.
Jesus that we can learn each and every day. We're going to continue with that theme and sing the song entitled Jesus. And if you're able to stand with us as we sing Jesus. Walks on the water, storms, and calms the storms.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us. Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion. He bled as the lamb. He carries my healing in his hands. Jesus. There is a name I call in times of trouble. There is a song that comforts in the night. There is a voice. There comes a storm that rages. He is Jesus, Jesus. Who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion. He bled as the lamb. He carries my healing in his hands. Jesus. Messiah, my Savior, there is power in your name. You're my rock and my redeemer. There is power in your name, in your name. You walk on the waters, you speak to the sea, you stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion. You bled as a lamb. You carry my healing in your hands. You walk on the waters. You speak to the sea. You stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion. You bled as a lamb. You carry my healing in your hands, Jesus.
Thank you. You may be seated. There is no other name like Jesus. And we should forever be grateful for what he's done for us. That's what we'll sing now. I'm forever grateful.
Draw. draw near to you, but you clothe yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothe yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. And I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. I'm so grateful to you. 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 And I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came seek and save the lost.
You pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, and we'll be forever grateful for that you came to seek and save the lost. We thank you for that time when we have met the Master. Lord, we thank you for the time when you spoke to our heart. And God, we thank you for the price you paid for our sin on Calvary, so we could have a home forever with you in heaven. We thank you for the cross and all that was accomplished there. Lord, we ask that you open our hearts as we receive your word this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, worship team. If you have your Bible, you can turn to John chapter 1. If not, you can follow along on the screen. But John 1 is where I want to read from today. Andrew and Peter follow Christ. That's what we're going to look at today, but we're going to talk about Peter, beginning in verse 35 of John 1. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. That was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, looked at Peter, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. I want to speak to you from verse 42 there. And there are two phrases here that I want to center in on. You are Simon, you shall be called Cephas. You know, really, there's not much that separates people today. But I do know this, when we meet the Master, it changes our lives. Nancy and I started dating when we were in ninth grade. So we dated all through, back then it was called junior high, and then high school, and all through those years together. We were boyfriend, girlfriend. I know you're not supposed to use those terms today, but I'm not going to change. That's what we were. And so, but when we first started dating, I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't. But Nancy had in her heart that she always wanted to marry a preacher. So they kept telling Nancy, "If you want to marry a preacher, you better date somebody rather than John Henson." But when I met the Master, when I met Jesus, then he changed my life. And I know that you have that same testimony too, that when you met Jesus, it changes your life. But really what separates us is really not our abilities, it's not our talents or anything like that. But really what separates us is our commitments. That's really where we see what we are when it comes down to our commitments. Peter was, excuse me, an ordinary fisherman until he met Jesus. And that changed his life. Peter's brother Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. And he found out about Christ through the teaching of John the Baptist. And in the story that I read to you today from the Bible, then John the Baptist saw Jesus walking and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And that's where Andrew met Jesus. He was introduced to Jesus. And so what did Andrew do? Well, what he did was to go get his brother, Peter, Simon Peter, and he said, "We have met the Messiah." And so he brought him to Jesus. You know, the thing about Andrew is he really was different than Peter. Peter was pretty bold, and Peter would always be out front and making statements and saying things, and he was pretty much a leader, but Andrew wasn't that. But here's what Andrew was. He was a man who brought people to Jesus. And so he brought his brother, Peter, to Jesus. And immediately when Jesus saw him, saw Peter, here's what he said. He said, in verse 42, the Bible says, Jesus looked at him and he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. You know, I wonder how those other people felt that day when Jesus said that about Peter. They probably thought, "Are you talking about Peter? The Peter that we know? The Peter that we grew up with?" Yes, it was. It was that same Peter. But see, the thing that we need to remember is this. Jesus doesn't look at people like many times we look at people. What God saw in Peter, what Jesus saw in Peter, was what he could become. He saw his potential. He saw how he could mold him and make him into the person he could become. You know, conversion, salvation, coming to Christ, being saved, that's instantaneous. I mean, it happens in the very moment we put our faith and trust in Christ. But there's something else that takes a lifetime, and that is the molding, and that is the making of the person that God wants you to become and he wants me to become. You see, if you want to see a power witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Bible, you have to look no further than Peter. I mean, his whole life is a witness to the power of the gospel that can change a person's life. Now, we're all interested in change. I'm interested in change, and you're interested in change and things that we need to change and that we want to change. But I'm talking about a deeper change. I'm talking about a transformed life. I'm talking about a change that only God can bring in your life, in my life. So if you desire that kind of transformation, if you desire that kind of change in your life, it's not going to come by self-effort. It's not going to come by changing habits and things like that. It's going to come through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what's going on here in the life of Peter. You see, God is not focused on what we do and where we are and all that. What his focus is on the inside. God is looking at your heart. He's looking at your soul. And so that's what he's interested in. And so he's looking into the heart of Peter. He's looking into the soul of Peter. The diagnosis is this: you are Simon. That's how Jesus diagnosed Peter. But he said, here's the promise: you shall be. You know, to know Peter like he did, and they'd never met. So you see here the omniscience of Jesus. In other words, he knows everything. But as soon as he saw Peter, he knew exactly who he was. And he knew all about Peter. And he knew what his character was. And he knew all the things, you know, about Peter that one would know. But he says, here's what you're going to become. And here's the promise that I'm going to give you. You see, to rename him from Simon to Peter not only proved that the Lord knows everything about us, but it also proves this, that he had the power to change his life. Folks, I want you to know, if you want to change in your life, then Jesus has the power to change you. He has the power to transform you. You don't have to stay where you are. You really don't. Your life can be changed. Your life can be transformed. And that's what we see in the life of Peter here. But he has the power to do it. Jesus knows us completely. But even though he knows us completely, he loves us enough to take us to where he wants us to be. And you know what? That gives everybody here today great hope. That gives everybody listening today or watching by Facebook and YouTube. That gives all of us hope to know that he can change us. And that he can make us into the person that he wants us to be. So we can take heart with that. What God's going to do here in the life of Peter is take out his chisel. And he's going to chip away everything in Peter's life that's not Jesus. And see, that's what he's going to do to you. And that's what he does to me. Everything that's not Jesus in our life, he just takes that chisel and he chips away at us until he gets us to where he wants us to be. The first point I want to make here is Christ knows who we are. In verse 42, he said, you are Simon. You know, the amazing thing about God's grace and God's mercy and God's love is this, that he uses imperfect people like me, imperfect people like you, imperfect people like Peter. And that's the amazing thing about God. Occasionally, you know, he might call the intellectuals of this world and the people born in nobility and all that, you know, they have a place in God's kingdom. But most of the time, you know, it's just ordinary people. It's just everyday people that God reaches out and he touches and he calls and he changes our life. Peter was that ordinary man. He was a fisherman by trade. Christ knew his character. He knew his strengths. He knew his weaknesses. He knew his disappointments. He knew Peter had a problem with pride. He knew that. He knew that Peter had a temper. He knew all that. So all that he knew about Peter. He knew all the positive about him. But he also knew his shortcomings, and yet he still reached out to Peter. So Christ knew his true character. Jesus knew Peter's family. Peter lived in a different location when he was born, but when he met Christ here, he had moved to a place called Capernaum. We also know this, that when he met Jesus, that Peter was married. And we know on one occasion in the gospel that Jesus healed his mother-in-law. He also knew that Peter's father's name was Jonah. Now, that's the Aramaic, but the way it's translated into Greek is it's translated John. So his father's name was John. So he knew all about Peter. We're told in the Bible that he knows everything. One point in the gospel, the gospel tells us in 1 Corinthians that Peter also took his wife with him on his ministry opportunities. Peter became a Christian after he was married. He became a follower of Christ after he was married. I have friends, and when I was going through New Orleans Seminary, the divorce rate among ministers, people studying for ministry, was really quite high. And here's what happened a lot of times. A lot of those fellas who felt called to preach after they were married. And their wife didn't want that kind of lifestyle. The bottom line is they didn't want to be married to a preacher. They didn't want to be in ministry. They wanted a totally different life. And so many of them wound up in divorce. You see, can you imagine this life change in Peter's life? But as we know from the gospel, that his wife probably was a believer too, and she was okay with what Peter was doing and all that. But the point I'm trying to make, whether it's marriage or any other area in life, whatever it may be, when your life is changed, your life is changed. I mean, it is transformed. And you become a whole new person. As the Bible says, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You become a new creation. And literally what that means is something that never has been before and something that never will be before. You are unique. God knows you. He saved you for a purpose. He saved you for a reason. And God's hand is upon you, just like it was in Peter. But Christ knows everything. And the thing about it is, the Lord's not going to forget about you. He won't. The second point is this, that Christ knows who we can become. In verse 42, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. And so what Cephas means in Aramaic, it's translated Peter. So that's how you wind up with these different names. By the way, the language that Jesus spoke was Aramaic. That's what he spoke. The New Testament was written in Greek. It's translated. So that's why you have these different names going on. But his name was changed to Peter. And what that means is a stone. It means a rock. Peter, you are going to be changed. You're going to be a different person. And Jesus, when he transformed his life, he knew that. Peter became one of the foundation stones for the New Testament church. He became a leader in the early church. That's the change that Jesus brought about in his life. And that's the change that he can bring about in our life. He took him from a place of instability to a place of stability in his life. Just like the parable Jesus talked about, we're to build our life on the rock, not on the shifting sand, but we're to build our life on the rock, build our life on stability. And so that's what happened to Peter. He went from instability to stability in his life. His whole character, his whole life was changed. Simon was the name his parents gave him, but Jesus gave him the name Peter, which was a rock. So what does a rock affirm to us? What does that name mean? It means stability. It means steadfastness. It means something that is not going to be moved. I think so much about the pictures of the Rock of Gibraltar. I think about, you know, how long the Rock of Gibraltar has been there ever since creation, and all the waves and winds and storms that the Rock of Gibraltar has endured through the years, and it still stands. That's what Jesus is saying to Peter. Peter, you're going to be a person of stability. You're going to remain. You're going to persevere. You're going to continue in the commitment that you have made to me. Now, we can't be sure at this point when Peter met Jesus at this point right here if he was converted or not. But we do know this, that he was converted, that he was saved, that his life was transformed, and that his life was changed. But the prediction here is what I want you to see, and here's where you see the power of God working. The prediction here is you're going to be stable. Peter, you're going to continue in your commitments. You're going to be up and down. You're going to face things in life. You're going to deny me and all that Peter did. And Peter, you're going to try to walk on the water, and then you're going to sink and all that. I mean, Jesus knew all that, but he said, Peter, you're going to be a stable person. And that's the power of the gospel. And that's the power of Christ to hold us. In his moments of loneliness, in his moments of misunderstanding, in his moments of disappointment, I'm sure that this promise here that Jesus gave to Peter helped Peter. It helped him to know, hey, the Lord's not going to give up on me, that he's going to be with me, that he promised me that I would continue and find stability in life. The third point is this. Only Christ can change our life. You see, he was making a promise to Peter here, not just because the Lord knows the future, but because he had the power to transform the life of Peter. And that's the promise that he gives to every one of us. When we're saved, when our life is changed, the promise is eternal life. The promise is that he will be with us. And like I said, it's a growing process. The salvation part, you know, being saved, that happens immediately. That's instantaneous, like I said. But the growing part is a lifetime. It takes a lifetime for that to happen. So he had the power, though, to change Peter. So Christ can guarantee the future because the future is in his hands. And that's the guarantee that he gave to Peter. Now, here's some observations that I want to make here. Think about this. How does God bring this transformation about? Well, he uses human action. He uses what is called providence. How did Peter get to Jesus? Here's the human action. Here's the providence. And I want you to think about it in your own life when you came to Christ. He got to Jesus through his brother, Andrew. God used Andrew to bring Peter to faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's how he works. But also, the transformation begins by forgiveness of sins. When we ask Christ to come in our life, to save us, to forgive us of our sin, that's when that transformation begins. The way Jesus illustrated to us that point is a conversation he had in John chapter 3 with a man by the name of Nicodemus. And here's how Jesus illustrated that transformation, the change that takes place. He talked about a new birth. And many times you hear people talk about being born again or the new birth, and that's the change that he makes. And so that's how Jesus illustrated it. He said, this change that I can make in your life, this transformation, really is a new birth. It's a new life. It is a new beginning. So Jesus talked about that. Now, this transformation, this change, doesn't come by trying harder. It doesn't. It doesn't come just because we have an idea we want to change some things. But it comes through the power of Christ. It comes through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that transforms our life. And so it's the gospel that changes our life. John 1:11-12, the scripture says, he came to his own did not receive him. But as to many as received them, to him gave he power, gave he the right to become the children of God, even those who believe upon his name. When we are saved, when we are transformed, the work is complete, but it is not finished because he still chisels on us. And he's still going to chisel away everything that isn't Jesus. There's a big theological word in the Bible that talks about that, and the word is sanctification, but that's what it means. You know, what Peter would eventually understand is this, how wide the gap was to where he was, to where the Lord wanted to take him. And I've come to understand that, and probably you've come to understand it, that there's a big gap in where we were to where he wants to take us, and he's still working on us, folks. He really is. You see, what Peter had to learn is this, and what we need to learn is that we've got to be willing to admit who we are before Christ can change us and take us to where we want to be. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to admit where you are in order to receive the change and transformation that he wants to make? Years ago, I made that admission in my life to where I was. And I cried out to the Lord. And I asked him to save me and come into my life. And that's the confession, that's the admission that we all need to make. I wonder if you can identify your real name today. That's what Jesus did with Peter. He said, you are Simon, but your real name is going to be Peter. Where are you spiritually right now? See, that's what your name is. Where you are spiritually, think about that's where your name is. If your name is anxiety, Christ can name it peace. If your name is addiction, Christ can name you freedom. If your name is rejection, Christ can name you acceptance. If your name is bitter, Christ can name you love. If your name is fear, Christ can name you courage. If your name is guilty, Christ can name you forgiven. See, there's no transformation or change without pain. Really not. But every bit of the change that we die to, bit by bit, you see, the Lord takes that chisel and he chisels away at us to make us toward what we want to be and where he wants to take us. In closing, I want you to listen to these words by John Newton. As the shaping begins in our life, I think we can identify with these words. I'm not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be. But thank God, I'm not what I used to be. And that is the hope of the gospel. Meeting the Master. Peter met the Master, and it changed his life, and it will change your life also. Let's stand for a song of invitation, please, in our prayer. Lord, we thank you for this great story in the Bible. We thank you for the great change that you've made in our life. And Lord, today I pray for those who need to make that change. I pray that they would come to you today and put their faith and trust in you. Lord, today I pray that during this invitation time, you would bring those today to this altar who desire that change and who want that change. It is a great transformation. It is a new beginning. It is a new life. And as Jesus said, it is being born again. Bless us now in this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
Appreciate you being here today. Appreciate your attention. Go this week in God's love and His grace. If you desire that change and you need help in making that change, we'd love to talk to you about that. That's the gospel. And I just want you to know this. Christ can change your life. He can transform it. He really can. Thank God we're not what we used to be. And He's taking us to where He wants us to be. So I thank Him for that, okay? God bless you. The worship team will come and they'll dismiss us in our closing chorus.
Thank you, Pastor. As you go through this week, just to remember that His strength is perfect when our strength is gone.
His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect.
Thank you. You are dismissed.